This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I think instead of showing her in the crowd, they should just show clips of her work.
Well, I think that's an easy way to not have the game get broadcasted.
I don't mean mid-work. I mean, maybe like a precursor. She's walking
like see,
up.
You know, yeah.
Like the pizza delivery guy's
sure.
walking up to the building.
And
that
then
kind
just,
of thing.
Just cuts off from there.
And then she opens the door, and then it's like, that's a Bella Danger.
You know somebody's going to put out there, and this goes right in line with dropping those corn emojis. Somebody's going to put out there like the spike in a Bella Danger like searches after this game, and it's going to be like plus 1,200% or something.
Do you think
insane.
It's better if Miami loses for her searches or for her searches,
crying
or
crying a Bella Danger?
Yeah,
after like a pivotal interception, and she looks like she like is the display of sad college football fan.
Yeah.
But then the broadcast has to be like, oh, just a young undergrad at Miami having a bad day, instead of like the reality, which is it's just there's your corn star.
Yeah, star. That's all I heard. So Ohio State's 10-point favorites, 9.5-point favorites.
See, the lack of seriousness in this game is kind of the vibe of this game.
So it's weird. I don't really fear Miami.
Nobody does. That's the problem.
I do kind of fear bad Ohio State showing up.
Well, I think the read on this one is pretty simple. Ohio State is a much more talented team, and Carson Beck is fine. They looked all right in the game against Texas A&M that we can basically just say – Texas A&M, not as good of a football team as everybody thought. That happens every single year. And the game was incredibly windy. It was what it was. But like nobody's really scared they're going to lose tonight. But that also has me scared saying that.
So, yeah, but I guess my thing is this is the next test of the Ohio State offense. And I just there's something about that Indiana game that is stuck in my craw. I don't think the offensive line's good enough. And I don't think the run game's good enough. And I think Julian Sain can single-handedly with Tate and with Jeremiah Smith. I think he can single-handedly beat Miami, but it's going to be a much closer game if you can't run the ball or if you can't protect Julian the same way.
But if I was Miami, I would want to do what Indiana did in the Big Ten title game. It's going to have to be like a 13-10 game.
Yeah.
You're not going to score a bunch of points. Carson Beck can. He can't do it against this Ohio State defense. The difference for me is this Ohio State defense. You have four different guys in the first round this year in the NFL draft that start on that defense that are incredible. There's talent everywhere. There's too many good players on the defensive side of the ball for Carson Beck.
Okay, so yes, but when it comes to the Miami side of things, they are the 11th defense in the country according to PFF, and Reuben Bain is real. Like, Reuben Bain is a dude that can take this game and take it from a 10-point game to a 3-point game in the home stretch If it's that close, you got a chance to lose it.
But it's got to be the recipe. Like, they have to do what Mendoza did in many ways, which is you just kind of hang around, and then you're going to have to make sure that your defense takes care of not only Sagan, but also Bo Jackson as well, and you just kind of keep yourself in it.
Be prepared for this take on social media tonight, potentially. That I don't know why I couched it like that. No, be prepared for this take on social media tonight.
Okay.
You know, if the Browns do stick at 7 and Reuben Bain falls, he's an edge rusher. You need an heir apparent to Miles. I wouldn't hate it.
And then I yell at everybody for saying we're going offense in this draft. Please, we're going offense.
I mean, you got a lot of time. You got some salary cap. You can find ways to build
that. There are some really interesting things about this game. Ryan Day as the play caller is fascinating to me. Also, are they going to do what they've done in recent years in the playoff under Ryan Day's time there, which is you let the governor off the quarterback? And like, so are you going to let Julian Sain be...
You want Julian Sain to cook?
Yeah, you're going to let him throw the ball down the field. You know, essentially is the question. Are they going to let him actually throw the ball? I mean, you have the best receiver duo in the country, and it's not even close, in Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. Are you going to throw deep to him? What are you going to do in that regard? Or are you going to do what they've been doing the majority of the year, which is just kind of, you know, humming and hawing with that offense?
I think that's a good point, because Ryan Day, leading up to the Michigan game, had said for a while, hey, we got things we haven't put out there on the tape yet. We've been kind of saving some stuff, which did line up with how the playoffs went last year. The problem is you never really saw it against Indiana. I thought Ryan Day really turtled against Indiana. I thought they lost primarily because of his clock management at the end of the first half. And certainly, I mean, that long plodding drive in the fourth quarter that went nowhere, if those two things don't happen or if they're handled better, I think Ohio State wins that game. And so to me, my biggest frustration with the Indiana loss wasn't that Indiana won. It's that Ohio State lost. Like, I came away from it. Listen, Indiana's impressive. I'm not trying to, like, Mendoza's a good football player. Cignetti is a lot of what people loved about Nick Saban. Like, that is a great football coach. With love, that's a tough team, great in the trenches, really good team. Do I think they're better than Ohio State? No. And did I think they were better than Ohio State in that game? No.
No, but I think
Ryan Day... You know what? It all over himself, and I don't trust him to not do it again in the playoffs.
See, I never looked at it as, you know, wanting all over himself. I looked at it as he just was holding everything back. And like, maybe that's giving him too much credit there as well. But it felt like to me, he's like, all right, we had a chance of meeting up with Indiana one more time. If we win the game, we win the game, great. But I'm not going to make this the end all be all. And when we get to the playoffs, that's what's going to happen. And so, like, again, you go back to C.J. Stroud in the game against Georgia, just unleashes. Will Howard last year in the playoff, just unleashed. And I hope, this might just be a hope, but I'm hoping that that's what happens with Saiyan today.
So maybe that's what this game really represents. One, I don't love the idea of we don't need to win the Big Ten championship. That bugs me. That should still have, being the number one seed should still have some sort of meaning. I know they only fell down to the 2 spot. I get it. But I do think that should matter to you more. But I think this game will tell you then. If they were just kind of sleepwalking through Indiana because, well, we just don't want to get hurt and we don't want to turn this into a shootout. We just want to kind of make it through this unscathed. And then this game, then you should blow Miami out. You are. I mean,
yeah.
I think you have problematic things on how your O-line is built. And I don't think you run the ball particularly well. And Julian can have a oopsie interception or two like we saw against Indiana. But your defense is so good, you should just blow Miami off the map.
Well, that's the point. The defense is so good.
But if you lose, then we get confirmation that Indiana, you didn't sleepwalk through Indiana. They were a better team.
If you lose, then we go to the idea that you played Texas in week one, and then all the way from Texas to Indiana, you didn't play enough good teams. And so, like, we just overrated you is basically what happened there.
216-474-0092. Are Bucks fans sleeping on the Miami matchup tonight? It's a 10-point game in the, you know, a second round of the playoffs matchup here in the Cotton Bowl. Now, Jax is going to walk us through. He's got a conspiracy. Is it a conspiracy? He's got a theory on how tonight's loss, if they lose, could lose them more than just a playoff game. Jax?
Yeah, so a couple days ago at the Cotton Bowl Media Day, Jeremiah Smith was talking to the media, and a reporter asked him this question here. I'll play it for you.
Ooh, what a setup.
Miami had won or played in games like this before you signed out of high school. Would your decision may have been different?
Most likely, yeah. I'd probably end up going to Miami if, you know, things was on the right track then and there. But, you know, I chose to stick with Ohio State.
So this got my mind just, like, twirling. Like, is there a chance that if Ohio State loses this game to Miami, that Jeremiah Smith is like, well, they made it to where Ohio State is at. Like, we're even now. I wanted to go here before, but they just weren't good enough. They weren't as good as Ohio State. You got Hartline leaving. I'm kind of worried that Jeremiah Smith is going to transfer out of Ohio State and go to Miami if they lose this game.
Look at selling. You know what? I'm proud of you.
But he's wearing a Jeremiah Smith jersey right now, too.
I'm
like,
worried,
you love Jeremiah Smith more than most people do.
Before we attack the question.
I don't want to really attack it because he's very nice.
I got to say, you set up the sound really well.
Yeah.
Better than like half the people on the station.
That's true. You did a good job there.
You came right out of
wait,
it.
Wait. He's buttering you up now. He's going to wait. He's going to weigh into this one.
No butter. Because I've always thought Jack's going to be a good producer, good board op, maybe a good 2020 guy. I heard a little host there, buddy boy. I did. Seriously, you set it up well. You paid it off. You have your take. You got through it
all
quickly.
Right, stop kissing his butt. Get to the point.
You know, your opinion is asinine. I mean, just embarrassing. It's not happening.
Thank you. It's insane.
Why is it not?
I mean, I love you, but it's insane.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
NIL to Carson Beck.
I think it was six, actually.
Yeah,
I think it was more than 4.5.
They're going to fork up the money for Jeremiah Smith,
so
and it's his hometown.
Ohio State won't?
Ohio State will, but it's also his hometown, and he just admitted that he would have gone to Miami if they were at the same level as Ohio State.
Yeah, but they weren't. They weren't.
And we just lost Brian Hartline.
Yeah, okay.
That was the main reason he chose Ohio State.
Well, yeah, but now he's got one more year to the NFL draft. Why would you danger that? Because you don't. Sorry.
We don't even know.
Why would you Abella danger that?
Yeah. We don't even know who Miami's quarterback is going to be next year.
Now that we can't match. If they say we'll give you $6 million. In money,
and Abella
Danger for a full year.
Carson Beck got it.
Yeah,
he had the twins first. The Cavender twins.
I think he had a twin. I don't think he had both the twins.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
They weren't a package deal.
He only got one. They really sold it like it was the two of them.
That's
true. Right, guys?
That's true.
No, but we don't even know who their quarterback's going to be next year.
Yeah, that's a very valid point. But the last 2 years, they went and got Cam Ward. They went and got Carson Beck. Who's to say they?
Okay, but
I think they're going to end up with Brendan Sorsby is who I think they're going to end up with.
Oof. He's fine, but oof. So, okay, I think that's a point. So I think the point is you've been in Columbus for 2 years now. you're 1 year away from maybe being a number one pick next year. Probably worst case scenario if they're four good quarterbacks.
He was pissed he didn't win the Biletnikoff Award. Maybe he uses that against him, Jax. Maybe he's like, Ohio State couldn't even win me the Biletnikoff
this
year.
That is as thin as John Fanta trying to flip-flop on. He was pissed. But
he was pissed.
It's not why he's going to leave Ohio State for Miami.
He won Big Ten Receiver of the Year. Mekhi Lemon won Biletnikoff. That doesn't make sense. They're both in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Jeremiah was very mad about it.
He has a right to
side. You know, a quick sidebar of the conversation we're having. We were really cooking with gas there for a minute.
Were we?
Yeah. Jack's kind of lost it.
Were we?
That Abella Danger thing, that's a real offer. $6 million and her. He's watched the tape. I'm assuming everybody's watched the tape. So
I don't know. Him saying he would have chose Miami if they were winning how Ohio State was winning at the time. And if they knock off Ohio State in this game, like, I think that's a very... That's something to be very worried about if you're an Ohio State fan.
I don't think it is, because here's what you should remember. You still have Julian Sayin. You still have Ryan Day. You still are more likely to win a national championship next year than Miami. Any number that they put out there, you can presumably match or beat. And he's 1 year away from the greatest payday of his life going to the NFL. Why would you leave a quarterback you've had a lot of success with to then go for... I don't know, Brendan freaking Sorsby.
So I think the argument that Jax is trying to make here is if you've had it as a childhood dream and it's something you've always wanted to accomplish, you can't put a price on that. If from 5 years old on, he always wanted to wear the U and be at the U, you can't put a price on that. And if his favorite wide receivers coach that got him there and everything that mattered to him is now gone, he's got...
You don't think it's going to happen.
No, I don't.
You're doing devil's advocate because you like
Jax. Doesn't have the same attachment to it there. Like, well, you can't put a price on playing for your hometown team.
I think you can. And I think it's whatever Ohio State be willing to pay.
Well, we already said they can match that. Have you seen Mike Ruiz, the Miami booster that basically just throws money at everyone's problems?
Hey, isn't that the guy from Levitard?
It's the same name.
Oh, same name.
Same name.
Not
same guy. Oh. Same name. One is way wealthier than the other.
I thought it was John Ruiz. I don't know. Ruiz. What did he say?
I didn't say he said anything. I just said he's got a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
He's got more than enough money to play in these in the Ohio State pool that we're talking about.
Our next guest wrote an interesting one-on-one with Jim Schwartz, where Jim Schwartz stated he would like to be a head coach again in the NFL, and that obviously leads us to the conversation about whether or not Jim Schwartz would be a candidate to replace Kevin Stefanski if he is let go or they part ways with him. Post this Bengals game on Sunday to talk with her about her piece on Jim Schwartz, which you can read on Cleveland.com. Browns beat reporter Ashley Bastock now on the fan hotline. Ashley, first off, incredible stuff on the Jim Schwartz piece.
Oh, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, we're very, very happy to have you on, especially with the timing of this. Now, there's a lot we can get to. I do want to get to, though, the Jeremy Fowler thing on Mike McDaniel. Just point blank, next year, who do you think would be a better head coach for the Browns, Kevin Stefanski or Mike McDaniel?
You know, I would still say Kevin Stefanski. I know some Browns fans probably are just so desperate for a change. But, you know, throughout the year I've talked about when the Browns have struggled, right, there's been this sense of calm and steadiness. And I do think very much that comes from Kevin Stefanski, and players outright say that comes from Kevin Stefanski. And whenever I would point that out, I would say, look, there's teams in this league that are worse off than the Browns right now. And one of the first teams I would always say was the Miami Dolphins, right, where you were constantly hearing about players-only meetings and the messaging being all over the place and Tua Tagovailoa calling out his teammates. So I would still say Kevin Stefanski in that situation, even though I'm sure there are some Browns fans who would disagree with me.
Do you feel like it's a necessity that the Browns do go offensive-minded when they go for this coaching search?
You know, I don't know if I would say it's a necessity, but it is interesting, right? Because I keep coming back to their two main coordinators here in Jim Schwartz and Tommy Rees. And what are the Browns going to do? Because you think about a lot of the main head coaching names that are going to be, I think, very sought after in this coaching cycle, like a Jesse Minter, right? He's a younger defensive-minded head coach. Chris Shula is another one from that McVay tree that you keep hearing about. So if you go defensive-minded, or even like a Robert Saleh, right, who they had interest in back in 2020, if you go defensive-minded, are you prepared to let Jim Schwartz walk? I don't think that that's the best course of action given what he's done with this defense, what he's done with Myles Garrett here. And the flip side of that is so many teams, though, are looking for that young offensive mind. That has been the trend in the league. My joke is everyone's always trying to find their Sean McVay, right? So the other interesting part of this is Tommy Rees is so well thought of in this building, and the way people talk about him as like this offensive sort of savant, and he obviously worked with Nick Saban. He's calling plays here now. He's called plays at Alabama and Notre Dame and college. Like, I feel like they don't want Tommy Rees to leave either. And when you're talking about the two coordinators, your offensive and defensive coordinator, and not wanting either to leave, then what would you do if you decide to switch directions? Would you want to promote one of them? I don't know. Like, I don't know that you need an offensive guy, but the Tommy Rees question is a really interesting one, because do you want to bring an outside or offensive guy in when you already really like Tommy Rees and what he's done in theory? So that's where it gets kind of tricky.
Yeah, I thought you kind of covered this. I listened to you guys on the Brown and Orange talk. I'm actually butchering that. Orange and Browns podcast for Cleveland.com. Yeah. And I
were
thought
you going to correct him, though, Ashley? I don't know.
I was going to correct him. So people can find the pod. They can look for it.
It's a very good pod. You're very thorough. But I thought you guys did a great job of just breaking down, like, here's why Jim Schwartz would make sense, maybe here more so than anywhere else, but here's also why Tommy Rees would make sense. Do you get a sense that maybe the Browns would lean one way or another in bumping one of those guys up if, again, Kevin Stefanski isn't back next year?
You know, I don't really have a sense between those two guys. Like, I'll just reiterate again. I mean, I think they really, really like both of those guys, right? And to your point, Nick, what you referenced there about why would Jim Schwartz be a more palatable option here than somewhere else? Look, I think Jim Schwartz deserves another chance to be a head coach, in my opinion, from everything he's done here. The problem is these trends across the league. A 59-year-old defensive coordinator is not going to be as easy of a sell to an outside fan base, I don't think, no matter how good he is. And sometimes when you're just out of that head coaching seat for so long, Jim hasn't been a head coach since 2013, it's hard to get back in. It's hard to get back in that discussion. He didn't make any major headlines after the 2023 season when the Browns went to the playoffs, right? So I think he'd be more palatable here just because even though they've had two losing seasons in a row, which is also working against him, I think, across the league, maybe unfairly given how well the defense has played, that I think they understand everything he's done and everything he's brought. And Andrew Berry loves Jim Schwartz, right? Those two crossed paths in Philadelphia. I think his influence was huge in getting him here in the first place in 2023. And then Tommy Rees, look, colleges have already come calling for Tommy Rees, and we know he's interviewed for some of these head coaching jobs. He's made some headlines, including last year when they interviewed him for the UNC job before it went to Bill Belichick. So I think we've already seen them want to get these guys and keep these guys in the building. So I don't know that they would be leaning one way or the other, but the interesting thing about if you hire another head coach, like, are you going to tell that person, okay, but you have to keep Jim Schwartz and Tommy Rees, or are you going to give them unilateral ability to make their decisions on their staff? Like, it's a tough question, I think.
What would you do?
What would I do? I mean, I think
tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
I think if you were going to make a change, I think right now I would still stick with Kevin Stefanski. First of all, I think that would be my number one choice, really and truly. And I think it is because they do seem to be in a good spot with their offensive and defensive coordinator. Kevin Stefanski is more in that CEO head coach role right now. And I think he deserves a shot to coach this team when they have a stable quarterback position. I think people don't really understand how unstable it's been. Even back to 2023, this team started five quarterbacks. They started like four last year. They've started three this year. There's been so many offensive line injuries. And when I talked to Jim Schwartz for that story, that was kind of his defense of Kevin Stefanski too, which I thought was interesting. And then I guess if we're going the other route and saying I have to make a change, which Ashley, GM Ashley, I personally don't know that I'm there yet. I don't think I am. That's an interesting call. Like, my gut says Jim Schwartz, and maybe it's because I just did this big story on him, that I'm more open to that opportunity with him than I think a lot of other people are. But I think what he's done with this defense, especially in losing seasons, is just remarkable. I think he would handle being a head coach differently than when he was with the Lions. We talked about that in the story, and he talked about now having this understanding that, hey, not all head coaching jobs are created equal. And I think the way Myles Garrett talks about him, he called it an honor and a privilege to play for him. He said that Jim Schwartz has helped him take his game to the heights that we see today. And look, we all know Myles Garrett does not keep praise like that on coaches when they are not deserving. I mean, I've sat in press conferences where he's called out Joe Woods before, right? So that to me is not nothing.
Ashley, looking to the quarterback position, do you think Shador has done enough to solidify himself as maybe the front of the mix right now for 2026? And how much impact do you think the Cincy game will have on that conversation?
It's an interesting question because I think, like, the Cincy game, one way or the other, like, they shouldn't say, okay, what we've seen in these prior six and a half games means nothing because of what happened in Cincinnati in a meaningless football game, essentially, right? But the interesting thing is, like, I would say right now, from how I look at things, he does seem to have the inside track for a few reasons. Like, number one, their draft positioning doesn't seem to be that good. Like, we could just say right now, like, Fernando Mendoza is probably going to be a Raider, right? Like, that's what it seems like it is trending towards. So if you're not there to get a Fernando Mendoza type of guy and you're in, like, the sixth spot, like, maybe you are better served getting a really good receiver or a really good tackle, something like that. And if you don't draft somebody really high, then I think, like, Shador is in the front of that race, right? That's what it would seem like to me. But the caveat to all of this is, hey, what happens, like, when free agency starts? Like, would they go after a different bridge guy? Like, we don't know any of those things. But I would say right now, given what Shador has shown, coupled with what their draft positioning is, it is going to be easiest for them to have him be in that driver's seat for that spot.
What will you call it? It's not a collapse. I know it's not a collapse. But what would you call it if Myles Garrett doesn't get the sack record on Sunday?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. That's an interesting question. This is getting very big picture here, philosophical almost. I don't know what I would call it. I guess it would be kind of a collapse, right?
I mean, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
For it than that. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it's not going to happen, I should say. I don't think he's not going to get it. Like, I would be shocked.
But we also wouldn't have thought that. We also wouldn't have thought with three games remaining in the previous two that he'd only end up with half a sack or whatever that's been.
Yeah, I mean, that part of it is sort of true, but I will say I went into the Steelers game last week very wary of him getting that record just because I thought the Steelers would do what they did. Like, Aaron Rodgers would be so worried about getting sacked that he would get rid of the ball super fast, which is what he did against these guys the first time when not only Miles didn't sack him, nobody sacked him in that week six game or whatever it was.
I know, but Miles didn't feel that way, though. In the pregame, he basically called it all but a certainty to the television cameras. So, like, he went in there thinking he was going to get it.
My counter to that is, like, what is he supposed to say in the pregame interview?
I mean,
like,
but I don't blame him at all.
Of course he's going to be confident. Of course he's going to be confident and want to get it. I think, like, matchup-wise, we know what the Browns look like against the Bengals and what Miles has done against Joe Burrow. That's, I think, the quarterback he sacked the most
Will we phrase it, though? If Joe Burrow decides that the only thing that matters to him on Sunday is doing what Aaron Rodgers did, I don't think Joe Burrow's built this way, by the way, but like if he decides the only thing that matters to him is doing the same thing Rodgers did and the same thing Josh Allen in the postgame talked about, how they were doing everything in their power to not have the sack and not have the sack record against him. If Joe Burrow cares about that, how will this be viewed when it's all said and done? As then three quarterbacks in a row essentially played keep away to stop him from getting the record.
I mean, I think collapse is probably a fair word, right? Like, I don't know. We might have to get out of thesaurus and look at some synonyms that if there's anyone that works better, but. Yeah, I mean, at this point, it would be a huge, like, a disappointment, obviously. Like, I think it would be a disappointment for Miles. It'd be a disappointment for the defense, all of those things. Like, people have really been hanging their hats on the possibility of him breaking this record, and it would still be, obviously, such a huge accomplishment for all of them and not just Miles. So, yeah, I mean, I think it would be a very surprising disappointment if it didn't happen at this stage.
Ashley Wyatt Teller got put on the IR today, ending his season and potentially his time in Cleveland. I know he talked to you guys today on the media. There's been a weird will he play, won't he play, is he injured, is he not injured kind of thing going back here. What are the odds you think Wyatt actually still might be back next year for Brown and Orange?
Well, look, I would say never, especially when it's, you know, a veteran guy who's been here and given a lot. But, I mean, it certainly right now just has a feel like the writing is on the wall. I think in their minds, they need to get younger at this O-line in general. Like, it kind of is due for a bit of a remaking. This group has been together. This core group has been together for such a long time now. But I will say, talking to Wyatt throughout the course of this season, and, you know, we talked to him right before the trade deadline, and he offered up, he was very adamant about wanting to retire here. And, like, he still said that today. And I think, though, today when you talk to him, you can sense that uncertainty and that it's certainly, he talked about being emotional a little bit last week, like just being on the field. And, you know, you kind of do start to think about it could be the last time. So I would say never, but like it would be more surprising to me if he is back at this point than if he is not, just from the tone we are getting. And then, you know, coupled with, was he hurt? Was he not hurt? Why was he splitting series with Tevin Jenkins, like, before the calf really acted up? Like, that was all weird. And that to me was kind of like the writing being on the wall in some sense. So that's kind of how I feel about it sitting here today.
Ashley, to circle back to Shador, when we talked about him previously, anytime we praise him, people say we're giving him too much credit. So we try to put like a name on who we think he can be. If by the end of next year or 2027, he maxes out kind of, I don't say his abilities, but if he becomes the better version of himself. And I said somewhere between Geno Smith and Kirk Cousins. That's the 40th pick in the draft, and I think Kirk was a fourth rounder. But two really high-level quarterbacks that I don't think were ever top six quarterbacks in the NFL. What would, I don't want to say comp, but where would you kind of, is there somebody in mind that you think if this really goes as well as can be expected, this is who he is.
I said Trevor Lawrence, by the way, if that helps out as well.
Oh, Trevor Lawrence is interesting. You know, the other name that I'm sure you guys have heard people use this for him is Jameis Winston, like without quite the same cannon and like maybe fewer interceptions. Like that to me is always also the comp that is interesting, obviously not in their draft positioning, but just the style and the way they play. I think is an interesting one. I will say though, like I think he's not going to reach his peak for me, I don't think, next year, like just because all across the league right now, right, we're seeing so many of these guys how it can take years for them to catch on. Now, some guys, like if you're a Caleb Williams, yeah, maybe it only takes like a year or so and then you're lighting it up. But here's the other thing, like development is not linear at all. That's like an Andrew Berryism that I think is so true. Like look at the Washington Commanders this year. Look at Jaden Daniels, right? He was so amazing as a rookie. This year, all these injuries, can't stay healthy. Things kind of start to collapse down there and suddenly it doesn't look like in year two what everyone thought. So I think bottom line, this stuff is just so hard to predict and developing quarterbacks is not an exact science. I think for most of these guys, it does take not like 1 or 2 years, but multiple years of their career down the road, and then you can finally start to talk about these draft classes maybe realistically like maybe like 5 years later, right? Like I feel like we didn't truly have a full picture of the 2018 draft class until maybe like last year, which is kind of wild to say when you think about it.
Ashley, incredible stuff with us as always. Great stuff in the Jim Schwartz piece. Happy New Year. Hope everything goes well for you, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. I really, really like both of those guys, right? And to your point, Nick, what you referenced there about why would Jim Schwartz be a more palatable option here than somewhere else? Look, I think Jim Schwartz deserves another chance to be a head coach, in my opinion, from everything he's done here. The problem is these trends across the league, a 59-year-old defensive coordinator is not going to be as easy of a sell to an outside fan base, I don't think, no matter how good he is.
Ashley Bastock, Cleveland.com. Great stuff with her on her write-up on Jim Schwartz for Cleveland.com. She just joined us in the last segment there. We do have Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, coming up in about 15 minutes. So what's interesting is I think she's spot on, and it's interesting how to a fan of like Tennessee, I think you can sell Tommy Rees easier, Browns offensive coordinator, than Jim Schwartz because of the profile. Young, offensive-minded, he's got the Saban stamp of approval, this, that, and the other.
Very easy to sell a lot of people to Tennessee.
Whereas I think here, I think Tommy Rees would be an easy sell on any other job. I think here, we've seen Jim Schwartz do what Jim Schwartz has done for 3 straight years.
Well, oddly enough, though, Jim Schwartz's connection with Tennessee should make that an easy sell as well.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
No, with Vrabel.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was there that second run, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think here, I think Schwartz is the easier sell and probably should be.
I mean, it's an interesting spot. It's one of those things where I feel like if it ended up being Schwartz, I don't think the fan base would get really angry. I would question whether or not you're going to lose the advantage you have defensively with Schwartz. And I think that's something...
Because he can't just focus on being the defensive coordinator?
Yeah, and like you know this, Nick. Like when you see whether it's defensive coordinators or offensive coordinators, I think about this with Josh McDaniels all the time. Like some people are just good at what they are good at, you know? Mm-hmm. McDaniels is a great offensive coordinator. He's done a great job with Drake May. I don't ever want him to be a head coach. Some people are just really good coordinators. And I think Jim Schwartz is that. He wasn't even a bad head coach when he was a head coach. But why are you going to take a strength of the team and then chance it? Because you're doing completely different jobs as a defensive coordinator and then as a head coach. And I just feel like you run the risk of then in trying to make sure you don't lose the big picture, you lose the big picture.
I think it's going to be tough to find. If you fire Stefanski, and we need to keep saying that until they make a decision on Stefanski.
Yeah.
I think you could do a lot worse than Jim Schwartz. I don't know you could do a lot better. I also think you could do a lot better than Jim Schwartz. I don't care about the age, by the way. I just think he would be here's what I like.
You cared about it with Whittingham at 66.
That's because it's Michigan, and that's because 66 is different than 59.
I'm just looking for the clarification. I agree. I think that's like, because I think at 59, you're going till you're about 66 or 67. At
67.
How far are you going? You taking this as your 73 or 74? How far are you taking this?
So, I don't look at the age is a complete negative because he's 59. And I do think, like, he is a leader of men. Like, There's a reason, like a guy like Miles, who's been hard to reach for some coaches, really has responded well to Jim Schwartz, but I think your point is best served. If I knew for a fact that taking him away from being a defensive coordinator wouldn't hurt the defense, I would be more apt to this. I just can't say that. And by the way, I'm not thrilled with what the offense has looked like under Tommy Rees, but I don't think it's all Tommy Rees's fault. I do think you've seen some growth here. It wouldn't upset me if they gave Tommy a real run at this as well.
Well, he would have to just blow their socks off in the interview process and do everything else, because I can't even say I like Tommy Rees. Tommy Rees is just a name everybody else seems to like.
Yeah, I mean, I like the profile of the candidate.
I like the profile, but I don't. There's nothing that he did in his job here where I'm like, that I need to see more of either.
But how could
he? He's been hamstrung, but I'm also not going to give him a job based off of that either.
I mean, do you think the offense has gotten better with Shador? Have you seen growth with the offense with Shador, despite taking away Quinshon,
Acting like you're putting up 30 points a game, though.
Well, no, but I think if we're going to be favorable to Shador because of
it's a head coaching job, though. Like I don't have to give it to Tommy Rees in any sort of like that. I don't have to do
so
that.
Okay, but in fairness,
plus I've told you before,
should we care about what he did as OC? Should we just care about like the profile?
Well, I've told you before, his profile actually is hurting him in my discussions, because I think he's too close to Stefanski. I think the year and a half he spent with Stefanski is too close for Stefanski for me, and I would rid myself of that.
Oh, it's interesting. Yeah, I would talk to both guys. I would definitely make sure you keep Schwartz, and it wouldn't bug me if you kept Schwartz and Tommy Rees with a new head coach. It wouldn't. Like I think you can change a lot just by changing the head coach. I don't think you have to. If the two changes here, right, your four main coaching spots, head coach, OC, DC, and special teams, if the big things you change are the head coach and the special teams, I'm okay with that, depending on who that head coach is.
Would it change who you hire if they say, I want full control over all this, or do you go into there and you say, and this is something I really think Haslam's got to consider, like, do I enter the equation saying, listen, I'll give you full autonomy of your staff, but we don't talk about defensive coordinator?
No, 100%. Yeah. I do everything, including financially, that I can do to keep Jim Schwartz here. And I think you have to appeal to Jim that even if, let's say, Kevin gets the Giants job and maybe he wants to follow Kevin to the Giants job, I would say your path to becoming a head coach is better staying here with a new head coach and then having a good year next year. I think it's more likely Jim gets another head coaching spot from that position,
yeah,
with the talent that he has here, with what he's built here, than if he goes to the Giants and has it. They're going to have to kind of rebuild, because that doesn't quite fit the wide nine defense.
The Stefanski part of it is the only part I hadn't really considered, because I was trying to come up with like a threat that he could give off. Like Schwartz could be like, if you don't give me this, I got this job just waiting for me. The Stefanski part is interesting in that, because Stefanski obviously would hire him in a second. He wants that to continue, but I don't think Schwartz, he'll have defensive coordinator options, but as far as better moves, he's not going to have them. This is one of the best defenses in the NFL. You have one of the best player in the NFL on your defensive side of the ball. You look as good as you've ever looked. Like, this is as close to peak as it's going to get for Jim Schwartz at this point.
216-474-0092. Should Jim Schwartz be considered as a candidate if Kevin Stefanski's fired? I guess I just would have to have this conversation. Like, I need to know, if we don't make you the head coach, are you willing to stick around as the defensive coordinator? Because that is a part of this. Like, if you're just out no matter what, the only way you're staying is head of coach, well, I'm not really amenable to that. We'll just move on.
But if, well, but you if got you no are, choice then. Yeah, you got no choice.
But if you are willing, like, listen, we're going to give you a real chance here. We take your candidacy seriously, but we want you to stick on as DC if we don't do it.
But you would know at that point they're really not taking his candidacy seriously then.
I disagree. I think you can do both things. I really do. I think if you're a good organization and you – and listen, I think Jim Schwartz knows, because of his relationship with Andrew Berry going back to Philadelphia. I think he would know whether it's a real, we're going to give you a chance at this, but we're not going to guarantee anything, and if you don't become the head coach, you'll be the DC. I think he'd know, because of his relationship with Andrew, whether that's a real thing or not.
Well, would he be offended if he felt like it wasn't?
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, if they said, hey, we're going to give you this real shot, and if not, we want you to be the DC, and then he goes and he does the interview, and he felt like it was just like, you were humoring me.
Yeah, I think Jim would know. Jim's a smart guy.
No, I'm saying he would know. Would he be offended?
Yes.
If he left that, yes. I think most people would, and so like you do run the risk of that. Like, instead of just out on the outwardly and frontward, just be like, all right, we're not even, there's no, if you're not going to take him seriously, there's no point of going through the process of it all, especially if you're going to turn around at the end of it, and then he'd know it'd be phony.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You know Graybar for electrical parts. But there's one more thing you may not be thinking of us for that can help maximize your next project's total value. Our pre-project planning services are designed to help you win the bid, save on labor costs, and keep your installers productive across your entire build. The sooner you call us, the better. Because when we're there from the beginning, we can anticipate your needs and help you solve problems before they become problems. Yep, Graybar does that.